Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from this fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which according to the Prime Minister is good for the economy, because now everybody can get a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. And my very special guest is Dr. Mark Circus. Welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me, Vincent.
Now, one of these little tags, that you've got on your name is OMD. Is that anything like OMG?
No, that's Oriental Medical Doctor. That means I'm an acupuncturist trained in medicine that's a couple thousand years old.
Yeah. Well, have you noticed that the human body hasn't changed much in a couple of thousand years, yet apparently everybody thinks that the medical system should change so drastically?
I like your humor about Fukushima. Yeah, I guess there's really no alternative. It's such a sick and pathetic joke. I mean, on the human race, what we've done, and how incredibly we can even deny something like this that's polluting now the whole Northern Pacific, I guess, will be, at least the surface waters, will be polluted almost now. But let's give it another 2 years to really pollute the whole Northern Pacific, and then we'll start working on the Southern Pacific.
Yeah, yeah. The currents go around, and as far as I'm concerned, what happened after Chernobyl, which was way less damaging than Fukushima, because it didn't get into the ocean, which connects to every other ocean in the entire freaking world, is a massive increase in breast cancer worldwide and a massive decrease in fertility worldwide. And, of course, radiation causes so many, and I think there must be a list somewhere that is pages and pages long of different symptomologies and different conditions that are indeed caused by radiation, and a lot of people would have no idea. Isn't that interesting? So if we have epidemics of goodness knows what, epidemics of cancer, epidemics of mental illness, epidemics of thyroid malfunction, epidemics of liver failure, so on and so forth, nobody would ever like be able to say, hey, it's radiation, because, hey, they're not being told, because it's blacked out of the media.
Yep, they have total control. It's amazing.
Now, speaking of cancer... You've got a little bit of information about cannabis and cancer to share with us today. Would you please divulge?
Well, using cannabis is a good, just alone, forget about other things you'd use with it, but it's a good stand-in for all chemotherapy and radiation. It's a natural form of chemo. If you use it correctly, I would say it's pretty hard to die on cancer if you're taking enough cannabis. It's as simple as that. The research is totally solid. I mean, from Harvard University to much work done in Israel, other universities around the world. I mean, the information is, like bedrock. It's, the science is so good. Of course, pharmaceutical companies try to get in on it, making synthetic stuff. They try to copy cannabinoids, but it doesn't really work very well. So, you can eat it. You can vaporize it and bring it into the lungs. You can make oil out of it and take it orally. I use this CBD cream. It's legal everywhere because there's no THC in it. CBD is basically medical marijuana without the THC. So it's legal. They can't make it illegal. I use it on my feet to control fungus between my toes. It's really cool stuff. I mean, it's a great medicine.
Mark, natural. Before you continue, what's that scraping sound? Sounds like a beard scraping on a microphone.
Okay, let's try. Okay, how's that now? Stop scraping?
It was just intermittent kind of thing. I'm not sure what it was. Well, but it seems to be gone now.
I think it was catching on my chair here.
Yeah. Okay, oh, there it is again.
Well, that right. Could be a cricket on the other side of the wall. I mean, Vincent, I'm talking to you. This is the first radio show I'm doing from my sanctuary. I've been building it for 7 years. It's in the interior highlands of Brazil. It's about 230 kilometers from Brasilia, which is the federal capital.
And wait a second. Is that Brasilia the capital that they borrowed $1 billion off of the World Bank for in exchange for the World Bank owning the entire Amazon basin?
Sounds like something rich people in the world would try to do, something like that. I don't know.
It sounds to me like something they'd be successful at doing.
All this money has been always been funny money from the beginning. All the money they lent to the first, South America, Central America, it's all just the fantasy money they lent out, and they get the money back, and they've been charging interest ever since. I mean, just, it's a sick world we live in. And anyway, I'm here in my sanctuary. I'm at the end of the world here. They finally put in internet. We got internet. It's better here than in the beautiful city I live in on the northeast coast in Brazil. So it's a dream world I have here. I'm in the heart of a valley. I have this big project going and interfacing with a lot of these natives from the area here, and some of them are descendants of slaves from just less than 100 years ago. And it's very fascinating here. Fascinating.
So back on the cannabis. Cannabis. I've got two cannabis convictions. All right. So nobody can deny that I've got a conviction towards cannabis and advancing the cause of it. You know, we've got I've had plenty of cannabis activists on the show. One in particular who I found was particularly interesting was the head of Green Cross New Zealand named Billy McKee. And he's had one of his legs sheared off by a drunk driver once. And his stump gets really inflamed and painful when he's walking around on it with his artificial leg. And he told me something very interesting. You just get raw bud and you sellotape it onto the stump, and it relieves all the inflammation and heals up all the rashes and everything just really, really quickly.
Yeah, it would do that.
It's got so many uses, just many medically uses alone. Basically, I've called it the world's only cure all. Can you name me a condition that it doesn't help in any way, shape, or form?
Well, yeah, no, that's accurate. I would say anytime somebody needs help, this is a help, even if it's emotional help, mental help. I mean, the thing is, if you use it correctly or whatever, it just helps. So, yes, it's kind of a universal helper to help anything. Will it cure by itself? Or you've been convicted twice. I wrote a book on medical marijuana. And inside the book, I have this, what I call Batman and Robin medicine. And Batman, in this case, is magnesium, and Robin is the marijuana. And the two together, it's like marijuana exponential, cubed. The two together just work like for sleeping. See, one thing the marijuana won't do is resolve magnesium deficiencies, and many people are totally wired up because they're magnesium deficient. So I really like to use, like a heavyweight boxer, I like to use punches in combination. So it's kind of my religion. If I have a religion, a medical religion, it's to always use things in combination and to speak in things.
That scraping's getting even worse, man.
Oh, boy. Let me see.
Yeah. See, it just stopped there as soon as you became aware of it.
Okay, so it's not the cricket, and I'll hold the microphone in my hand. That's what I'll do.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so right. Let's go.
Sorry about that. Keep going.
No, I'm sorry about it.
So PLP.
I was talking about my religion. In medical religion, is always to look at things in combination, because there's, if you hit it from every side, whatever the problem is, that's the best way to cover it. But medical marijuana for me is always right in the middle of it, because it's really one of the most useful and diverse and unique substances. There's nothing that does what marijuana does, which is help regulate things or give feedback signals on a cellular level, so especially between the nervous cells, to give feedback so things can more easily go into harmony. I mean, that's pretty cool, medically speaking, to have something like that. Everything the pharmaceutical companies have, everything the psychiatrists and psychologists have, is just poison. They poison you, and they think they're going to get you better. That's their kind of philosophy.
Yeah.
I don't know how they get away with it, but...
Well, I think they get away with it because I found something very interesting. Yesterday we were having a discussion on the show about psychopaths, right? And what was revealed during that interview is one very interesting factoid, is that in psychiatry, they don't teach you about psychopathy. And that's because the people who invented psychiatry were psychopaths, and they don't want people to know about them. You know, for the same reason that the medical industry doesn't teach people about nutrition, because it would put them the frack out of business. So the reason why they don't teach them about marijuana.
They don't teach them about psychopaths? Is that really true?
Yeah. You know, it's quite extraordinary. It's the only condition that you should actually really be worried about. You know, somebody's got ADHD. Oh, I'm so afraid they can't sit still in a seat for too long and have creativity. Jesus. Oh, my goodness. As opposed to somebody who's at the head of somebody who has a mental condition where they're at the head of the world and have their finger on the red button that will kill all life on Earth and have no conscience or anything like that. They'll actually do it. That's something to be worried about.
Yeah. Well, I live my life like a train on two tracks. So one track is like every month that we have where we don't have a total financial collapse and world panic and total economic, you know, down to the bottom into anarchy. Every month that that doesn't happen, I find, you know, wow, that's a gift to us. It's a grace. Fukushima is a time bomb blowing, you know, on top of all of us through the years. You look into the future. But the financial stuff is right now. You know, it's like, you know, every month we have... The other side of the track is, yes, I'm always running down, looking to work as hard as I can to the end of time, until the internet doesn't work anymore, and, you know, keep... But, you know, it's like things are really hairy right now. And each month is a gift to us.
I think each day is that kind of gift. What was I watching yesterday? I was watching an episode of Family Guy yesterday. And this dog Brian, he gets really depressed because he thinks that life isn't worth it, and so he goes out and he gets really drunk and he hits on women, gets slapped in the face, that kind of thing, and then he meets Frank Sinatra Jr., who tells him, "Look, man, every day that you have on this world is a gift. Why don't you use it? Why don't you go out there and live it?" And I thought that was actually quite a profound realization, even for a cartoon, is that each and every day you can really accomplish something great, and so long as that day isn't full of psychopaths who are trying to destroy the economy, that's nice.
Yeah. So you wanted to talk about sexuality too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big subject.
Especially in the porn industry.
Especially everywhere, actually, since everybody was made from sex. Just about everybody on the planet likes it. Just about everybody has a neurosis or even psychosis with it.
So it's at least they don't have fluorosis.
You guys got fluoride in New Zealand?
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere. About half of our half of our cities have got it.
Really? How did it get over to New Zealand? I mean,
well, they import it from China, the phosphate fertilizer industry.
No, I know that, but how did they get that craziness, you know, over the people and the government there? I know United States and idiotic countries that copy them, you know, but...
Well, look at it this way. There is no patented difference between a government in the United States and a government in New Zealand. They're both predicated on the same thing. Complete domination of the executive branch and complete scumbaggery dominating every other branch. Lies, deceit, and deception. So is it any wonder that fluoride's in here? No. No, there isn't. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
The conditions which framed and taught us our stance have gone with us.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on the fabulous American Freedom Radio. Public awareness is such an important thing these days, so I wanted to make the public, the listeners to American Freedom Radio, know something that's happening on in the background here. There's been, as many will have noticed, that the archives are not being done at American Freedom Radio at the moment. So please just, you know, be patient while they're going through that. The problem is being worked on. And in the meantime, I'm not sure if the other hosts do this, but I do record the live stream of the Vinnie Eastwood Show on my second computer in the lounge every day and publish those archives to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com on a daily basis. So if you're wondering where the archives are, at least for my show, they're on my homepage. And archive pages there. Just wanted to let people know that. So just be patient and please, for the love of fracking goodness sake, don't message AFR and tell them I want my archives, where are they, etc. Okay? It's being worked on, yo. Just chill. When it happens, it happens. All right, back to my very special guest. Mark Circus, OMG. I'm sorry, OMD, Oriental Medicine Doctor. Welcome back.
So you were starting... have you talked to many people about sexuality on your show?
Not so much, actually. I mean, we did talk to with one lady about the circumcision and the trauma it causes, sort of like permanently on those who get circumcised, and the trauma of what's it called, miscarriage, childbirth, how to do all that properly. So we've touched on reproduction, but not the actual practice of the lovemaking itself.
It's interesting that you said you wanted to talk about it, because this is a very special moment in my life. I'm, I could say writing, but mostly editing. I'm combining four, almost five of my books into a new book called Love and Sex Medicine. And most of my own writing and work in sexuality, I haven't published at all. My stuff about how it relates to intimacy and love and marriage and all that. Also, I've kind of shied away. I've been really kind of off in medicine land these last 10 years, but now I'm coming full circle, and I'm going to be putting this book out, and I should finish it in about a month or so. And so this is a topic that's really on my mind, because I start editing at like 4 o'clock in the morning before the sun comes up, and reading this stuff, and of course applying it to myself, and to see what I wrote 15 years ago and what I personally have gone through in these 15 years sexually, and my marriage is another whole thing. And one of the things
I thought that sex and marriage were mutually exclusive.
In my original book, called The Marriage of the Souls, which the subtitle is The Second Coming of Pure Love. This is something I wrote here at the end of the world.
You're talking about sex and the second coming at the same time. That's brilliant.
Right, exactly. And even though this particular volume wasn't that much about sex, I have another book called The Heart of Sex. It gets into more than sex. Still, in this Marriage of the Souls book, I defined love independent of sex and independent of number. Meaning that everybody deserves pure love, everybody deserves God, three women together, three men together, two men, one, it doesn't matter the number, the sex. What matters is the love. What matters is the pureness of intent and the depth of communication, the respect for other people's vulnerabilities, some very basic things, empathy and compassion for others. And this is all independent of what sex you are and how many people get together to have it or not have sex. In my Heart of Sex book, of course, if you want to, the Taoists, they say, if you want to live for 1,000 years, get a hold of your sexual energy and get total control of it. And, don't have an orgasm and just retain all your energy and you'll live for 1,000 years. I don't know if that's an exaggeration or not, but there's something to it. This is a lot of energy in sexuality, and it's for, the religions of the world sabotaged it. So most people are kind of quite a bit damaged with their sexuality. And this is not talking about the 30% of women, at least, who have been sexually abused or raped, and the trauma that causes all of them and then their children, especially their daughters. And, so we are, we're a friggin' mess sexually.
Well, and have you noticed that there's an oversaturation of it? And sex without love is like a car without gas. It just doesn't go anywhere, does it?
I'd say definitely not. I was lucky enough to always, every time I made love, except for maybe once in college when I was drunk one night, I've only had the experience of making love to people I love, so... But I can imagine, I've had enough experience with enough people. It's not love. It sucks. Mm.
So, well, how do you reconcile that?
How do I reconcile what?
Well, the fact that people are tied up with sex and they're forgetting love as the most important element of it.
Well, if that's true, if that's what people are doing, or when any, we talk in general or specifically, you look at any individual, and if they don't have love in their life, and if they have a lot of sex but no love, they tend to be totally screwed up. I mean, it doesn't lead anywhere. It leads to problems, and big problems, like pregnancies and unwanted children, and, on and on and on, so... For sure. I only met one person in my life, or at least in the last 20 years, who literally said to me, "I don't believe in love." And that was, it was shocking. And it ended up in my book, because it was shocking for me to hear that. I've been down here in Brazil 22 years and basically surrounded by with love most of this time.
It's like saying somebody doesn't believe in the sun. It's right there. It's in your face all day long. And you don't believe in it? You know, my uncle once told me, I said, hey, do you want some mayonnaise on your sandwich? He goes, no, I don't believe in mayonnaise.
You know what I do every morning? Vincent, at 7:05, the sun comes up over the hills or the mountains around us. And I eat the sun for about... I just started doing it again because I just came back. I can stare at the sun directly as it comes up for about 5 minutes until it's quite a bit over the horizon, just staring at it, eating it. I love it. I have built a solar temple for this.
Mm. Well, that's sun gazing. There's actually reports of a man in I think eastern India who for the last, I think maybe 30 or 40 years, has not consumed a drop of water or a scrap of food. He eats the sun. And what's interesting is that the photons from the sun, they're capable of being transmitted through the eyes and indeed charging your system. And the entire reason why your blood flows through water or through food is because it's energy, right? That's all that the body really needs it for, is to create energy. So if you consume the energy through your eyes, and it's possible to do this with the sun, you don't need food or water if you do this this technique correctly. And a bunch of scientists were like, oh, that's BS, that's BS. He can't not eat. He can't not drink. He'll die. And so they put him in a lab with no food, no water, obviously. And he was just fine, you know, for weeks, just breathing. He's like, well, what are you worried about? What do you doubt me now?
There's about 5 months ago, a patient of mine, a cancer patient, gave me a biomat. Have you heard of a biomat?
No.
A biomat is a far infrared mattress. Instead of a sauna, instead of buying or going to a far infrared sauna where you get into it, it's a mattress that you can put on your bed or on a massage table or on the floor, and you lay on it, and it radiates the body with light, far infrared light. And the light, when it penetrates a couple inches into the body, it turns to heat. And with this thing, you can do lots of things with this thing. You can kill cancer cells with it. You can... microwave cancer and heat it. It'll die from heat prostration before the person will. You can use far infrared. You can use these mattresses and sandwich a person in between two of them. But these things, this mattress, you can sleep on it. And what you're doing is just sleeping on something that's really super warm, like a woman's arms. I tell you, it feels that way. Like with your lover and somebody you love, it's warm and feels. You can sleep on this thing and radiate yourself all night long with light, with radiation of a very healing type, very relaxing type, very regenerating, increases the immune system. This thing, I wrote two essays about it after I got one, after this person gave it to me, and wow. It's just exploded. It was just amazing. It's like...
Yeah, me too. I wrote my essay, and he wrote me a letter back, and he said, hey, thanks for writing me, essay.
When I write, people listen. They take me seriously. So so this whole thing about light, I'll be publishing actually on Monday a book. I publish usually like one book every couple of months. Monday or Tuesday, I'm publishing a book called Light and Heat Medicine. And it's an old thing of mine. I was a student of Christopher Hills. You ever hear of him? He was the guy who brought spirulina to the world. He was the one who did this creative conflict process. Like, I'm the last.
Apparently, that was a spirulina of the moment thing.
No, it's a spirulina since for 35 years now. It's a thing that started with him and spread all over the world. And excuse me. Get some water.
I have this this also impression as well from you that you're very reserved, like you don't make big claims or things like that. Like you actually try to get things nailed down before you start really talking about them and releasing the information. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, sure. I kind of stake my reputation on every word I write. You know, it's like I write, and this has been kind of the secret of my work for about how many years? 17 years ago when I first got on the internet, I realized that everything you write and publish on the internet is like, you know, could be preserved or known by everybody or the CIA, or it doesn't matter who. It's information that's almost permanent. So it's like being talking in front of God. It's like, every word counts. So I started writing on the internet like I was speaking to God because everybody's listening.
So and that, God knows whether or not you're full of BS.
Exactly. Say again?
Or is that Santa? Oh, no. Santa just knows when you've been naughty.
No.
That's why he doesn't visit the White House.
No, here's the real trick. In my book, Heart Health, which defines the heart as the vulnerability of being, this is a book I wrote at the same time I wrote Marriage of the Souls. What was I going to say?
I think you're about to say that we're about to go to break.
the heart that everybody has, their being, is the truth of life. It's the part of us that cannot stand lies or untruth. You cannot be in the heart and lie at the same time. It's impossible. So
I think that's absolutely truth. Yeah. Because a lot of people out there who are really heartless are often, if not invariably, lying filth. We'll be right back after the break at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Don't you go anywhere, ladies. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week. And you can check out the archives at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. That's TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. And Eastwood as in go ahead, make my news. And my very special guest is Dr. Mark Circus, AC, that doesn't stand for air conditioning, is it? OMD, Oriental Medicine Doctor. Hey, AC may not stand for air conditioning, but you are very cool, aren't you? I'm sorry, bro.
Okay. Acupuncturist. Well, at least I was one. I don't practice anymore, but...
So that would be an inaccurate puncturist, then?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
An inactive puncturist.
Yeah, okay. I gave that quite a while ago. Well, I've invented a new form of medicine, so I had to give up the old stuff.
Really? A whole new form of medicine?
That's exactly what I did. Vincent, I was nobody. 10 years ago, I was nobody. Nobody in the world knew me. I didn't own a penny. I didn't own anything. I was living in a beach town in the northeast coast of Brazil. And 10 years later, I've created a new form of medicine called natural allopathic medicine.
Are you holding and your microphone now, or have you put it down?
No.
That scraping's come back.
Okay, we'll try again. I feel like a student in school. So what was I saying? I was...
You were living in a beach town? Yeah, nothing.
I was living in a beach town, had nothing. And then I started this organization called the International Medical Veritas Association. And make a long story short, I've literally changed how medicine is being practiced everywhere in the world, from Moscow, China, Australia, Canada, South. Not, you know, 95% of the mainstream, of course, hasn't heard about me, but growing, I've created a real change in how medicine is looked at and practiced, and I call that natural allopathic medicine. And here I am 10 years later, finishing my sanctuary, which I've been building for 7 years. And I didn't want to tell you how much it's worth. I mean, it's going to end up being 14 bedrooms and I think 12 bathrooms, going to be a retreat guest house, surrounded on three sides by two rivers that just surround the house. You can drink right out of the rivers. I mean, kind of a paradise. And literally,
no chemtrails?
None.
Well, thank goodness for that. You'd be the one.
I have never seen one down here in Brazil. And I think I would have seen them. I've been in three different major areas of Brazil this year. So anyway, it's been an interesting ride these years, and where I'm ending up, you know, after doing what I've done and how I did it. I mean,
a lot of people who do great things, they often wonder how they did it. And you know, my interpretation is you were meant to do it. And so whatever came along, it was meant to help you.
Yeah, and I believe in the extra help that heaven dishes out. And I built in the downstairs in the living room. It's a big, massive living room. One wall is a wall of river stone, and I built this big, like a little mountain inside the house, and then on top, like a waterfall comes down, and on the top is a statue of Mary. It's Mary, for sure it's Mary, but it's not really Catholic Mary. It's the way I look at it, it's like the universal goddess. And I am a servant of the goddess. I'm maybe reaching the supreme masculine type of energy, the god type energy, but I'm particularly serve the goddess, which is my wife, of course. I feel like I've gotten a lot of help and have had some direct contact with this universal goddess type being. And I think that's why I'm still alive. So,
well, interestingly enough, when people were captured, U.S. soldiers were captured in Vietnam and they spent time in Vietnamese prison camps, they found invariably that those who had a strong belief, a strong faith in God, were the ones to survive. And those who were atheists died relatively quickly, because when they're locked away, alone, with no hope of rescue, there's nothing.
But if you're a man of God or a woman of God, you're
never
alone. Right away. You're never alone. You're already rescued.
Yeah, and my sister's an atheist, and she doesn't believe in any of this kind of stuff, and so naturally, she's become rather bitter through life. And you know, I don't practice religion. I practice being spiritual. And I think that religions and spirituality are mutually exclusive to a large degree.
To a large degree. To almost an absolute degree, but it's too much to say that. To a large degree. You know, when it gets to sexuality, the imprint on sexuality comes from the major religions, whether you be Christianity, Judaism, Islamic, Hinduism. You know, that counts for what, about 95% of the human population? I'm not sure. And all four of these religions And of course, the Protestants, and you have to add all that in. You know, the basic teaching corrupts the sexual impulse.
Mm.
It makes something ugly out of something beautiful.
Yeah.
Makes women something, you know, it's just sick. It's really sick. So that's why I say, you know, getting into sexuality is just a huge and very deep hole, you know, to go into. And
so to speak.
So it's, you know, eventually somebody, I don't know if it's going to be a me or not in this book, but they're going to have to redefine things. Except that it's, you know, you deal with writing about sexuality in an honest way, you come right down and confront religions head on.
See, I don't think you're necessarily writing about sexuality. I think what you're writing about is sex reality.
That's good. The sex reality.
That can be the name of your next book.
No, this is
Sexuality and the sex reality.
Vincent, I'm retiring probably. Let's give me until September. At least I'm retiring as a writer.
Just put out a booklet then. You know, it'd be a shame to waste it.
Next week, as I was saying before, and I forgot to finish, I'm publishing Light and Heat Medicine. It's a lot about these far infrared systems that you can sleep on, what you can do with them. But it's also about human photosynthesis and how we process light. It's about, when I was mentioning Christopher Hills, my oldest work as a color psychologist and how we eat light and break it down into the seven colors. You know, this was my life for like 15 years, about 30 years ago. And then 2 weeks later, I'm publishing my book called Water Medicine, and I'm about to redefine the meaning and what it means, what quality water really is and how to make it. It's a lot about the story of magnesium bicarbonate water, which I am going to be coming out with the first water filter system in the world that makes magnesium bicarbonate water. And this came to me like out of heaven about 3 months ago. And then about 3 weeks after that, this incredibly genius, this nuclear physicist calls me from from Florida. And he said, my guides were screaming at me to call you. I've created the first concentrate, magnesium bicarbonate concentrate, and I want to give it to you to investigate and to market and to do everything with it. So that's coming out. And then I'll come out with this love and sex medicine book. And then I guess in September I'll be releasing my surviving cancer compendium, which is going to be like 3,000 pages. And then, Vincent, I'm finished. I've written enough. I'm going to do something else.
There's some major interference coming through here, Mark. Are you holding it real close to the computer or something like that?
No.
Oh, that.
How about
that?
How about now?
A little bit better.
I turn toward the direction where this bug is outside my house cricketing. Maybe it's that.
Yeah.
So, okay, anyway, so I'm finished. I had enough. What else do I have to say? I'm going to be publishing like 3,500 pages in the next 4 months, and then I think I've written up. Yeah,
mate, that's a heck of a lot of writing.
Yeah, yeah. So don't you think it's enough for one lifetime already? I mean,
I don't know. You take a look at somebody like what's his name, famous science fiction writer Philip K. Dick. He would write like 4 novels a year and did so for like 10 years. But of course he was on methamphetamine most of the time, so you know, couldn't sleep, so just stayed up and write most of the time. And then he had a vision of himself dying between his armchair and his coffee table, and then he didn't turn up for a meeting one day, and his friends came over to his house and found him dead between his armchair and his coffee table. Isn't that interesting? All right. Well, we'll be right back after the break. And one thing we wanted to go into is healing sexual trauma, because also this is something that is a big, big thing in the world today, especially for those who were choir boys in the Catholic Church. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.